Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, Adelaide, are you ready? Every side, are you ready? In the west, in the south? Let's just open our hearts. Father, let your reign just come on the seat of your word today. Take these words, filter out what we don't need to hear, and work deep in our lives. We give you honor, we give you glory, because you are surely in this place. And we praise you. We speak over those that are in this room and watching on a screen. God, let it be this a meaningful moment for us all as you work by your spirit in our lives. And we all agreed and said, amen. Please grab a seat. Well, what a good day it is to be serving Jesus. I was glad when they said, let's go. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go, because traditionally at Pneuma, this would be Vision Sunday. And, I remember last year standing on this platform and preaching live and via technology to every site. And we began to declare that this season ahead in 2025 was going to be a year of restoration. And I'm here to report that it definitely was. It definitely was. And God's been good to us. It's been an incredible honor of mine to lead this house from Brisbane, flying in, flying out. 19 times I flew from Brisbane to Pneuma Church in 2025. Yeah. It's just great for frequent flyer points. But it's been an incredible honor. I have a deep affection for this house, been ministering from this platform for now 40 years. And over the last 12 months to be your senior pastor in a different way. Most of you know that I don't visit you in hospital. I don't do your weddings. And hey, you can't even book ahead. I won't be doing your funeral. Okay? That's not my job. My job is to pastor a beautiful team of men and women who will pastor you. And we've done that for the last 12 months. And it's been a wonderful season. Wasn't always an easy start, but I just look back and see that the Lord is good. And I'm here to give you a report of what the Lord did in our year of restoration. There's so many more things, but let me just give you the highlights. All right, I'm a highlight kind of guy. Just give me your facts on one A4 page, make it bold print, double spaced. All right. So here's the double-spaced highlights of 2025. We as a church celebrated 100 years. 100 years, people. We raised the bat. We reached the century. And I don't know if you were in the morning or especially the night service, what a time it was with the choir in their robes. There was joy everywhere. And, you know, who would have thought that even in by, you know, those few months, it would have come from maybe where we didn't start so great to where we were. God was good. But in amongst all of that, we opened a brand new facility where I was just preaching in our East Campus. That was beautiful. And we've taken ground and we're believing for every site eventually. Hey, wherever you are, eventually, that we're going to actually take ground and have a roof, a permanent roof over every site. Hobart in 2025 secured a permanent home. It's magnificent. They'll be in there worshiping in the next few weeks. It's really cool. All the millennials are going to love it. It's kind of an old cathedral. It is really cool. All right. Our city location under Pastor Cherie. Wow. Have a look at this place. It's shining like a new pin. And you, those of you that call the city home, you rolled up your sleeves. You got work done. It's been magnificent. And we actually did that really motivated to be ready for the 100 years. And so many locations, you're all doing great. Our international locations, we're proud of you. You know, though you are further away, you're still in our heart. In fact, let me tell you something. Relationships never defined by distance. It's defined and by commitments we make in our heart. And I'm very proud of the team in Singapore and Bangkok. You're doing amazing. I see our missions pastor, Kane, on the front row. He can give you the exact numbers, but I can tell you that our missions offering, missions is now just called missions, Pneuma Missions. Who would have thought? Right? Kind of works. And we took up our largest mission offering in many, many years in 2025. Praise God. That was pretty cool. Our whole financial situation turned around. You know, there were concerns at the start of the year. We finished strong. We've kept you up to date with how we're doing. You've lent in. Your obedience to scripture, as well as just good leadership and good management by the team, has been really, really cool. I said earlier, I traveled to Melbourne many, many times. And guess what? I didn't cost you anything for that. Our movement believes in this house. Our ACC covered all of my flight, all of our travel to be with you. So you got me for free, which is cool. But you know, in amongst all of it, I think the foundation of it was we made an ever-growing commitment to unity. Psalm 133 says, where we dwell together in unity, that's where God commands a blessing, okay? And when we just start in that space, that's where God does his best work. And there's so many, many things that I could report, so many things that, you know, we did at a leadership level. Some structures are simpler. There's a lot of healing and restoration, a lot of those places. But you know what? Above and beyond it all, above and beyond all of it, and there's so much we could report. Let me tell you the greatest thing. We made disciples. We fulfilled the Great Commission. People got saved. Backsliders were restored. People were baptized and people grew in their faith. That's what the church is meant to do. So it's wonderful. In a year that was a year of restoration. And so as we see 2025 in the rearview mirror, we now look forward. And there are some things in my heart that I want to share. Because if 2025 was a year of restoration, I believe 2026 is a year of repositioning. Now, I'm somebody who's mildly interested in sport. And wherever a sweaty person's chasing a ball, I'm interested. And I know a fair bit about sport, and I've found that if you want to be on a winning team, if you want to get the victory, you've actually got to have people in the right position. So today, as we get ready for an exciting season of ministry, I believe the Holy Spirit's calling us to reposition. Reposition our hearts, reposition our ministries. And in this season, the Lord's put two big things in my heart, two kingdom expressions that he wants us to all embrace. Here are these two big things. Number one, he wants us to embrace a new day. Amen. And second, he wants us to be part of a strong house. New day, strong house. And in this new day, I see a number of things, and I've been praying into this as we walk into this season together. I felt the Lord spoke to me about new opportunities. New opportunities. Jesus said in John 4, look to the fields, because they're white for harvest. Let me tell you something. It is very easy to become dismayed. It is very easy to become distracted. We watch the news and we're told Australia's becoming more and more secular and more this and less God interested. Let me tell you something. There is in the hearts of men and women in this nation and beyond an openness to spiritual things. And I believe we as a church, God is going to give us opportunities to see his kingdom extended, to proclaim the gospel and see much fruit. Are you with me today? And you know, a missiologist by the name of Ralph Winter impacted me deeply many, many years ago. It actually helped shape the philosophy of my life and ministry. He said this, until the future of the world matters more to the church than the future of the church has no future. Let's be people that look up, not in. Because if we spend too much time looking in, you know what? You'll see problems. You'll see problems. I'm going to tell you something. Is it okay to be really honest? The church has got some problems. Here's why. This is going to shock you. People are in it. People like me. Okay? And we can get so caught up on the few things, we can actually forget the big thing that God has called us to do. Look to the fields, get ready for what he did. You know, my last Sunday with you here in 2025, we left this service and we went down to that housing area. And hundreds of you helped us bring food and gifts and kindness to lost, hurting, broken people. And something in my heart leapt and go, this is who we are. This is what we're meant to do. And let me tell you, in 2026, get ready for new opportunities that the Holy Spirit's going to cause us to get involved with to see his kingdom come. There's going to be a new grace. With those opportunities, we're sometimes going to feel inadequate. Here's the promise. When you feel weak, he's going to make you strong. How? By his grace. Are you ready for a new grace upon each of us and all of us? There's going to be a new anointing. Let me prophesy. In fact, tonight, say tonight, we're going to have an anointing service. I've literally been wrestling for a number of days with a word. And each of us have got to realize that we are called to the kingdom for such a time as this, not just to occupy a seat, but to honor Jesus and live a life that's full to his glory. And we're going to pray over every person. We're going to place oil upon your head because the psalmist said, that I shall be anointed with what? Fresh oil. And Zechariah, when he saw that there was something great to be built for God, he went, whoa! And God said, hey, relax. It's not by might or by power. Zechariah 4:6. But it's by my spirit. I'm ready for something fresh in the Holy Ghost. And I want you to be part of it. So come out tonight, 4 o'clock, won't be late. But I'm going to tell you something God's going to do, what only God can do. And there's a new anointing that God wants to bring as we embrace a new day. And here's the big one. All ears open wherever you are. If you're in the West, lean in a minute. In the South, this house will have at some time in 2026, new leadership. It's been an incredible honor to lead you, but it's never been my assignment to stay forever. My job was to present this church to a new leader ready for a new season, to do what I need to do, most of which was behind the scenes. And God is going to bring to this house new leadership for a brand new season. And in coming months, they'll be here, preaching, teaching, leading, loving. And tomorrow, we start advertising that role. It'll be on the church website, okay? Now, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna trust God, and we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray. We're just gonna let him build his house. We're gonna let him raise up what this place needs in every site to move into its destiny in Jesus' name. Now, I start talking about new pastors, new leaders. For some of us, well, that causes a little distress because a season passed, there were some things which hurt some people. I'm believing that this next season and this process will be thorough, will be God-honoring, will be driven by prayer and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And hear me loud and clear, my assignment as your current senior pastor is not done until the new leadership is in place in a way that is just led by the Lord, filled with grace and favor. And so I'm going to ask you to be prayerful with us. The initial, if I can use the term advisedly, advertising of this role will be through the whole month of February. And then we're just going to see what the Lord does. God's already preparing people to lead this magnificent historic church into a phenomenal new season in God. Can you believe me and can believe God for that? Yeah. So let's get ready for a new day. The second part the Lord's put on my heart is that he wants a strong house. And I want to take just what he wants to do for all of us. I want to actually mine it down to each of us. And I'm going to ask you to come with me to the last parable of the most magnificent sermon ever preached, called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching the kingdom. He's giving us truths and insights in how to live a rich and fulfilling life, how to honor him. And he kind of summarizes, he pulls the drawstring on it all, and he makes this declaration in Matthew chapter 7. In verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone, say everyone. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house where? On the rock. Rain came down, and the streams rose. How many remember that Sunday school song? The rain came down and the... Right? If you want to know more, go to the museum. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. Here's the promise. Here's the reality. Yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation where? On the rock. On the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, what are they? Foolish. They're like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, just like what happened with the first house. This time, as the winds blew and beat against the house, it fell with a great crash. Almost all of my life, I've been a Queenslander. I was born on the central coast of New South Wales in the city of Gosford. My dad was a pastor there. Actually, he wasn't in Gosford, he was in Woi Woi. It's kind of lower Gosford. I'm a Woi Woi boy. The only other Woi Woi boy that I know is Spike Milligan. And if you know who he is, you've also been to the museum. But before I was one, I was smuggled out of that horrible state and I spent the rest of my life in Queensland. And Queensland knows a lot about storms. We know a lot, okay? One of my recent visits to Numa, I loaned my vehicle to one of my location pastors who was hosting a guest ministry. I went to the garage when I flew back in the next day and I looked at my car. It looked like Swiss cheese. I rang him and said, did we have a storm yesterday? Yes, Pastor. Did you drive in that storm yesterday? Oh, yes. Was there hail? Yes, but only for 30 seconds. I said, that's all it'll take. It's got 30 dings in it. That's all good. Praise the Lord. It's only a car. I'm back. See, if you're in Queensland, you know you can wake up and it's really bright and sunny. Pastor Joe was there one day and you were there and it was all sunny. And I said, yeah, well, just wait. By 3 o'clock, some clouds start to come. And if by 4 o'clock, the clouds have gone from white to gray, just get concerned. If they go from gray to black, probably move your car undercover. If they go from black to green, run, Forrest, run. It's gonna come hard. And that's what happens. And you know, you've seen on the news, and I know even in some parts down here, you've had some floods, and it's just a horrible part of life. And one thing that we Queenslanders know, and our houses are built, they're set up high, because we just know floods are gonna come. Storms are gonna arrive. And so we're ready. We're ready. And in this story here, both houses faced the rain, the storm, the wind. The trouble is, only one stood. What was the difference between the one that stood and the one that didn't? One word, foundations. If your foundations aren't right, it doesn't matter what the design is. It doesn't matter how ornate it is. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how flash it is. It doesn't matter what color it is. If your foundations aren't right, when the tough times come, it might not stand. I saw an entire street when I was young. I spent a lot of time in the city of Ipswich, about 40 k's from Brisbane. An entire street had to be destroyed, demolished. One common builder built a whole bunch of houses that wasn't ready for situations that were beyond their control, and the entire street had to be bulldozed over. One reason. Didn't have the right foundations. As a young man, I've always had this desire of just biblically stewarding and preparing for the future. There are a lot of principles regarding finances. It's not just about giving, it's about saving, it's about planning. And I had this revelation young, and so I thought, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make myself very marriable. I'm gonna own property. Can I tell you, Lynn was not swayed by anything other than the boat I had. She told me years after we married, she said, you know what? For the first 6 months we went out, I liked your boat a lot more than you. So I've had a boat all my life to keep my marriage together. So, but anyway, I thought, you know what, I'm going to own property. So I, by the way, if you're a millennial, listen to me. This is going to shock you. There hasn't always been an internet. True. Back in the last century, we used to have to read brochures and see things in the newspaper. And so I was looking for a house, and one day I picked up my brochure to a real estate agent, and I looked, whoa, that is an amazing house for the price. It's so cheap because the photos look so good. So I got in my car, I raced out to the suburb, went down the street, I turned up, and to my shock, the house that looked so good had a massive crack right through the middle of it. It looked good, but it wasn't going to stand because it had the wrong foundations. Today I want to unpack this, because when I see this parable that Jesus tells, that the storm came on both. One crashes down at the worst time. The occupants of the house on the sand are exposed to the elements. They're exposed to the storms of life when they don't want to reason this, that it just wasn't ready. So it leaves me with a question. What foundation am I building my life upon? Let me take it further. What foundations are we building this house upon? Let's go deeper. Songwriter, he pointed us to this truth. If you want to stand, he said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. Not on opinion, not on preference, but on Christ. And Christ the rock takes it even deeper, because he says, I'll repeat it in verse 24. He says, everyone who hears, this is interesting. I want you to notice there's two aspects to this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise one who built their house on the rock. Here's the deal. Hearing is not enough. Knowing is not enough. It's like seatbelts in a car or life jackets in a boat. They are only good in times of crisis if you've applied them. Jesus says, it's one thing to hear my words, but the real test is, do you obey them? I'm so glad wherever site you're in today, in the room here in the city, or there in Singapore, at Hobart, in Adelaide, West, wherever, South family, all of us today, hear me. Church attendance in Hobart is not enough. It's good. Let's be glad when they say, let's go to the house of God. Let's defy the current trend where regular church attendance is now seen as once a month. That's what the experts say. If you go to church once a month, you're a regular attender. When I grew up, that wasn't regular. It was backslidden. Come on, let's prioritize the house of God. But being under the influence of the word, worshiping with others, isn't even enough. Let me go a little further. Reading your Bible is not enough. Because the big test is not, have you read it? Have you heard it? The big test is, are you living it? Because there's a big gap. There's a big gap between what I read in print and what I include in my lifestyle. It's what I hear the Holy Spirit say and what I actually do. The Apostle James, not everybody likes James. In fact, there was a wrestle as to whether they include his writings in the canon of Scripture. Can you believe that? He's just a little bit hard line. This is what he said. In chapter 2, verse 26, he said, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without what? Deeds, without doing it, is dead. In fact, he goes on and says, you say you got faith, let me see it. Live it, do it. In the chapter before, he was even a little harsher. In chapter 1, verse 22, this one was like a smack in the face when I was reading it just the other day. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Like, what a good boy am I. I'm listening to the word. Don't just merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. This is what he says. Do what it says. Do what it says. I have been on a church ministry team now full-time for 44 years. I can't count the number of people that have sat in front of me and said, Pastor Wayne, I know what the Bible says. Next word. But you don't understand my situation. I know what the Bible says about, you know, boundaries in my relationship, but we're in love. I know what the Bible says about this undisciplined way I've been living, but I know what the Bible says about my responses to some people, but you don't know what they did to me. Let me tell you something. There's no buts when it comes to obeying the scriptures. Even in the Amplified, there's no but. James says, do what it says. Do what he says. Otherwise, listen, you are building your faith. You are building your life. And mum and dad, let me go a little deeper. You're building your family on sand. Do what it says. So the important question is this. Is there an area in our lives where we're being disobedient to the things the Lord is saying to our heart? And only you can answer it. You can't look sideways. You can't point across the room. Well, yeah, you. No, no. Search me, oh God. Turn your spotlight on me and show me. Some of us would rather call it procrastinating. Here's something I want you to hear me say today. Delayed obedience is actually disobedience. Some of us plan to deal with procrastination tomorrow. That was funnier than you realized. I'll move on. Do you remember Moses rocking up to Pharaoh? There's all sorts of stuff going on. It's pretty bad, like plagues of every sort. And Moses regularly says, so Pharaoh, when do you want this stuff to end? You know what they said? When did we say? Tomorrow. Like, duh. The writer of Hebrews says, today if you'll hear his word, don't harden your heart. I have a little bit of insight into engineering and what people in boilermakers and fitters and turners do. And here's what I've known. If you want to case harden something, you heat it up, you cool it down. You heat it up, you cool it down. That's what happens to our heart when the word of the Lord comes. It gets hot in his presence, hot on altar calls, hot in worship. It gets hot and then we don't do it and it gets a little cold. And it gets, every time we don't do what he says, it just gets a little harder. And I don't want to live my life with a hard heart. However we dress it up, it boils down to just one thing. Lordship. I'm a preacher's kid. I heard preaching all my life on this issue of lordship. And this is how they'd summarize it. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. It's lordship. This is a big thing that God is speaking to me about right now. I've been praying the Lord's Prayer, where we as a ministry, our partner church, Hope Center, we've been in the middle of 21 days of all different phases of prayer and fasting, and we're praying that simple prayer, your kingdom come. And I'm learning that for me to pray your kingdom come, I have to also pray my kingdom go. He's got to be Lord. And if he's Lord and he's King, then I don't debate him. I say yes. So what's God been speaking to you about? He's been speaking to me about a number of things. What's he speaking to you about regarding delayed obedience? Partial obedience. Can I continue? Obedience isn't always easy. And it's, can I, listen, obedience to the word of God seldom offers a quick fix. Can I tell you something about God that actually irritates me? He's slow. At least a lot slower than I wish he'd be. But he's true. And he's good. And he's faithful. And all he asked me to do is say yes and obey his word. Because the alternative is quite dangerous. Before we finish this morning, I just want to do a rapid fly through three examples in Scripture of people who knew what to do and didn't do it. First one, the rich young ruler. So important is the story and that encounter that the rich young ruler had with Jesus that all three of the synoptic gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all address that moment. He rocks up to Jesus and says, well, what do I have to do to get in the kingdom of God? Before you answer that, Jesus, I just need to tell you who you're with right now. I've never murdered anybody. Wow, that's a good start. I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a thief, I'm not this, I'm not that. And as this story goes on, he's continually celebrating his behavior, and Jesus wasn't impressed by his behavior. You know what he was looking for? Surrender. Jesus said, oh, well, good on you. That's wonderful. Now, all I want you to do is go and sell everything you've got and help the poor. And the Bible says this man who approached Jesus with such joy left sorrowful. And I don't believe that Jesus wants every person with wealth and assets to go and sell them all. This was a test of his heart. Because he could not surrender and bring his life, what he was and what he had, under the lordship of Jesus. What's my one thing? What's your one thing? He says, would you just surrender it? Trust and obey. In all your heart, trust the Lord. We move from him to another guy, Jonah. Jonah's one of those rare prophets that we don't just get their word and their prophecy. We actually get a little bit of insight into their life. And the first verse of Jonah chapter 1 says, the word of the Lord, there it is, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Here it was. Go to the great city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. Go to the great city and preach against it because of its wickedness. It's come up before me. The next line, first few words of verse 3, but Jonah ran away. Ran away from the Lord. How many know that's futile? King David said, how can I get away from you? Where can I go to escape you? I go to the highest hill, you're there. Go to the deepest ocean, you're there. Jonah made this futile attempt to run away from the Lord and his requirements of him. He ran away and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And if you follow that story, it becomes apparent that one man's disobedience put a lot of people at risk. Mum and dad, listen to me. Obey scripture. Don't be those parents that put your family at risk. Do what he's asking you. In fact, everybody, hear me. Don't try to run from the Lord and stay away from people that are. The book of Proverbs says it doesn't end well. So when I read Jonah's story, the Holy Spirit just asked me to respond to this question. So let me invite you into the question. What are you running away from? What are you avoiding? Even though it's not always the easiest path, the best place to be and the safest place to be is in the center of the will of God. And then there's a classic story in the book of 1 Samuel where King Saul, he gets impatient. Anybody here suffer with impatience? It's one of my wrestles. King Saul gets impatient. He knew what he should do, but he decided, you know what? The word of the Lord's taken a little while to turn up. The prophet Samuel's taken a little while. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him a little hand. I'm going to get involved in some religious activity. He took a shortcut. Can I tell you something from somebody who's learnt this the hard way? Shortcuts seldom take you to a good destination. I'll be driving with Lynn sometimes, you know, and the map in the car says, go that way. I go, yeah, you know, I know a better way. 5 hours later, you know, shortcuts seldom take you to the right place. Ask Abraham. He's got a word. It seems like it's taken forever. What does his wife say? Go sleep with that pretty kid that's working for us. And he says, if I have to. And what happens as a result of that affair, that moment, Ishmael's born, and the planet today, thousands of years later, still feels the repercussions. Shortcuts. We can fill our life up with distractions and even religious activity, doing everything else, but not doing what he told us to do. And then into our life comes the word of the Lord, like Samuel, and he says in 1 Samuel 15, to obey, say obey. To obey is better than sacrifice. God will do this, this, and this, and this, and this, rather than do what you said to me. He just says, just do it. Trust and obey. So the big issue we have to all wrestle with is, what area of my life, what area of your life demands a different response to the one we've been giving the Lord lately? What is it? Is it things that you've read in the Bible? Are they things he'd spoken to you with that beautiful, still, small voice, the whisper of heaven, the Holy Spirit, and we kind of ignore it, and we kind of suppress it, we kind of replace it, and we try to crowd it out, but he continues to speak. What is it? What's that one thing? Because the key to building a life, and I need to say on this important Sunday, the key to building a church on solid foundations is being a people that obey what he's calling us to do. That's it. That's it. It's not easy always, but it's right. It's the right way to live. Gives us solid foundations. And I've been holding a lot of stuff before the Lord lately. So Lord, show me. As I come into your presence, put your spotlight on me. Are there areas in relationships with others that you're speaking to me about? Can I tell you about humans? They let us down. They hurt us. They offend us. Most of them don't mean to. Did you know that? I was really comforted when Jesus hanging on a cross and Jesus said these words, Father, what? Forgive them. Then he says, for you, they don't know what they're doing. A lot of people don't intentionally go out to hurt you. Can I tell you something in love? They're just stupid. We're brain damaged, all of us. And we don't mean to, but we hurt each other. So in the same sermon that we're preaching from this morning, Jesus gives us a pattern of prayer, magnificent. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. And on he goes and gives us some amazing principles of how to pray. And he gets to that line, which some of us kind of skip over, because he says, you should pray with this thought, forgive us our sins, debts, trespasses. Forgive us. Here's the biggest line. As we forgive others. This is such an important component of that prayer that Jesus, when he gets to the end of it, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. He barely takes a breath and he says, do you know something? If you from your heart don't forgive your brother and sister, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. Drop the mic. You know what he's saying? You want to live under forgiveness? You live it out. But you don't know what they did. No buts. And it's not easy. I am the first to admit it's not easy. And forgiveness, that 70 times 7 thing, it's a journey and it's a daily thing and it's a getting up and praying, blessing and letting it go. Asking him to heal us and asking him to give us a grace. And some damage to relationships will never be what they used to be, but we can guard our heart and we can let stuff go. Some of us, we've got stories, but don't let that weigh you down and don't let this erode the foundations of your life and faith. Maybe seasons we've been through as a church. Forgive us as I forgive them. because we want to move on and into all you have for us. Can we talk about finance? Lock the doors. How did you feel that moment when your pastor challenged you in the areas of tithes and offerings? Because I don't know too many areas in the life of a believer that challenges lordship in our life, like finances. Jesus actually knew how important it was. He kept dealing with it. He dealt with the subject of finances and possessions more than most other subjects because he knows it's a wrestle. And I know Christians, I've preached in so many places and I meet so many Christians that expect pastors to pray blessing financially over their life, marriage, business, household, whatever, even though they are disobedient to Scripture. Here's the deal. Pastors don't have a magic wand that can make your disobedience go away. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct. I believe God is a good God and I believe He wants to do so much for us, but He also asks us as His children to obey the instructions of the Father. That's the key. King Solomon said in Psalm 37, I can kind of say this now, I was once young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. Can I tell you, we are righteous because of what Jesus has done, and because of what Jesus has done, we are now continue to live lives of righteousness because of what we will do. You know, I'm a preacher's kid. We grew up, my dad was pioneering and pastoring churches in country towns. And I didn't realize it until I was much older that we were the poorest people in town. But we always had meals, we always had clothes, we always went on holidays, we always had fuel in our car, and sometimes it required miraculous provision. But the one thing I did know is my parents put Jesus first. Seek first the kingdom. And many of us are getting mad at God because He's not doing miracles, and yet we just refuse to obey Him. You bring this under the lordship of Jesus, and I can tell you as someone who's living this out, you will be amazed at what God does for you. This isn't Christian lotto. You don't give Him $100 today and He'll give you $1 million tomorrow. Don't believe that kind of teaching, but He will faithfully intervene as you walk out your faith before Him. Is He speaking to you about that? You want to have further conversations? Talk to your pastors. This is the only way to live, obeying Him. There's so many areas we could touch on, struggles and sin. What is it that you feel still has a grip on your heart? Is it on a screen? Is it a spending issue? Is it in a bottle? You kind of think it's a secret, but God knows and you know. King David, this verse really stirred me in Psalm 66. King David said, if I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He knows we struggle. That's why we come to Him and we say, God, I'm just gonna be honest, God, I'm struggling with this. And you know what? He's got a grace, He's got a cleansing for us, but He's also got a victory. Is He speaking to you about some stuff? Bring it under His lordship. As the team come, got many areas. Tonight, we've got an anointing service. I really hope you come out because the Lord's speaking to many of us as we step into a great future of us not only bringing our treasure to the Lord, but bringing our time and our talent. I think it's a new day of serving Jesus. Is it that area says, you know what, you should and could be bringing what I've given you to make a difference in the lives of others? Is it the community? Is it children? Is it youth? Is it practical areas? Is it the worship? Is He speaking to you and you, oh yeah, I'll get to it one day? Just say yes. And maybe we can just go to one that's really, really important to me right now, and maybe it is to you. The Lord's calling me into a deeper place with Him. I'm mildly hyperactive. And I've heard so many messages where people beat up Martha. You know, she's just out busy doing stuff. And Jesus just sat at the feet of Jesus. My natural default is to be more like Martha than Mary. But Jesus is saying, would you just come aside? I want you to come near. I want you to come deeper in me. And I can tell you something. I can, like Saul, fill my life up with a lot of activity that even on the surface looks so good. But in this season of my life, right now, I'm having to dial back some stuff so that I can come closer to Him. And maybe something like that is happening in your life as well, to abide. Don't put it off to tomorrow. His word, His presence, prayer. I heard a great thought the other day regarding prayer. Just keep it real. Keep it simple. Keep it up. Just come outside. All of this ultimately comes under one big word: lordship. Surrender. And today I'm going to ask you to stand before this beautiful team. Come and join me. We're going to worship. And in your sight, in a moment, I'm going to release you back to your location leadership. I hope you can stay just a moment. Your location pastor is going to lead you just into a ministry moment. But would you allow me just to take just a couple more minutes? And would you just open your hands before the Lord? Unless you have to leave your site, unless you're serving somewhere, could we just give the Lord 5 more minutes again? Let's not be hasty. Let's breathe. Here's my question. And I'm going to tell you something before I ask you. You need to know from the bottom of my heart, I've been asking myself this a lot lately. What's the one thing I'm delaying? What's the one thing I'm running from? What's the one thing I've only partially said yes to and surrendered? And maybe with your hands open before you, I wonder if all of us could do that, if it's possible. Wherever you are, every side across the Newman family right now, I wonder if you'd take just a moment and whisper a prayer. You know, one of the best prayers at all is, God, help me with this. I'm struggling with this. I'm challenged. I'm even annoyed by that part of that message today. But I know my response doesn't honor you. And I know you're looking for a different response. And in this moment, I surrender. I bring it under your lordship. It's a challenge. But I say yes. I want to build my life. I want to build our family. I want to see this house, this ministry, with solid foundation, so each of us, we surrender. Lord, so many whispered prayers in this moment. And I speak your grace over every open heart, over every honest life, over every desire to build a future that's on solid foundations. We don't just hear, but we make a choice to obey. A choice to obey. As we step as a church family into an exciting future, we make choices that will honor Jesus, that will build a strong house to the glory of our King. In Jesus' name, minister. In Jesus' name, move across hearts, across lives, across futures. This isn't going to be easy for us, Lord, but your will be done. Your will be done. I say yes. Oh, Holy Spirit, across this house, across every site right now that's part of this ministry right now, just move. Move, minister. I see you touching hearts. I see you strengthening. I see your Holy Spirit coming. Undoing knots. breeding confidence that we can walk free as your kids. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.